It may be early in the morning, but it's always time to go exploring. Welcome to Outdoor Pursuits with yours truly, Jade Quinn McDonald. We have today with us two guests from the Varsity Outdoor Club, and we are honored and humbled to be speaking today on Musqueam territory, broadcasting through Tsleil-Waututh and Squamish unceded ancestral territory. So I have Sonia and Alan here with me today. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves, and we'll hear about where you're from and what position you guys play on the board?
Sure. I'll go first. I'm Sonia. I've been recently elected as the VOC president, or the Varsity Outdoor Club president.
Props to you.
Thank you so much. honestly, quite an honor. I'm a fourth-year microbiology student. Got a fifth year coming up because I'm a transfer student. So that's what's made
From UVic, right?
Yes. So that's what's making presidency possible. Don't really know exactly what my position is going to look like yet. I literally just stepped into the role. so far, it's a lot of emails, just a lot of emails. And then the best part is that part of the roof of one of our four huts that the VOC owns and maintains just sheared off a couple weeks ago. So this summer, we quit the project. So that'll be fun. I kind of grew up in Calgary. Got used to doing outdoorsy stuff in the Rocky Mountains.
That's great.
Yeah, came out here, joined the VOC.
Did you do much on the island?
Yeah, but like at UVic, they don't, like their outdoor club is not as extensive or well organized, especially since I was there during COVID.
Yeah.
So it was more like a Facebook group that said, oh, who wants to go on this hike? Yeah. And that was cool too, but it was harder to make a more concrete group. So I did some climbing and surfing and stuff, but nothing like out here. So
all right.
Hey, I'm Alan. I'm a second year astrophysics student.
Matches your shirt there. You're snowboarding. Yeah. Oh my goodness, snowboarding astronaut.
Quite the personality. I'm one of the two trips coordinators this year, which means I will be running a lot of the big instructional trips come September, most notably Glacier School, where we get 50 people to go up to a glacier and learn how to not die on one of them.
Keep their friends safe. Yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm from Vancouver.
Okay.
So I technically grew up, well, I did grow up in Seattle, but I was there for about a year, and then we moved here, been here for the rest of my life.
Cool.
So very much through and through Vancouverite. Yeah. Just getting my citizenship this summer,
I was about to ask.
Does it come with an Arc'teryx jacket?
It doesn't. We haven't quite gone about that kind of level yet.
Canadian citizen, not Vancouver citizen, I guess.
So, Alan, is this your first year on exec?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This year you were a trip coordinator, that's correct?
I'm going to be a trip coordinator for this upcoming year.
Our elections were 2 weeks ago.
What's the elections process?
Well, we just restructured it because officially it was we do it in person at an AGM, but we haven't done that for at least 6 years. It's always been online in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
And then Alan wrote 800 lines of code this past election cycle.
It was not fun.
Yeah, but it simplified things apparently from a Google Forms that we were using.
And
in the future, it'll simplify things. Yeah, so people basically can sign up for three positions they want to run as, and then people will there's ranked choice, which made your life harder with the coding.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just people vote for a week long period, and then the winners get announced at the AGM. Yeah.
Awesome. Do you guys get free food at the AGM? That's
it's
how they attract us here.
Nice. It's a potluck. So
that's almost more fun.
I think people are attracted to the VOC because they go on one trip and then they kind of sell their soul to the club. I don't know if there was a full incentive, but it draws you in for sure.
I mean, we did have cheap beer.
That's true. $5 Nalgene's worth of beer. Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. that's a sparkly attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So is it, were you on the board this year?
Yeah. So to be president, you've had to have been on exec for a year beforehand. It doesn't have to be the year beforehand, but you have to have been on exec previously. So this past year, I was the membership chair.
Okay. What does that entail?
Basically, also a lot of emails. So also, like, you run the club's day booth and info night and such. So you interact with a lot of people, which I kind of attribute to, like, me getting president, because people are just like, oh, yeah, I've emailed with her before. She seemed nice. Or, like, she was at info night, which is where we just explain to people what the club is and everything. And it was really cool. I really liked meeting so many people and, like, getting to know people that I wouldn't necessarily get to know on trips I go on, because I don't go on every trip, or I'm not interested in every single outdoor pursuit. So
what?
Yeah. Not every single one. Yeah. Well,
do you ice climb?
No.
Are you an ice climber?
I have tried as of like February this year. It's pretty neat.
That one is, I've never really had the urge.
I mean, I have the urge, but lately.
As I get more into climbing, I like ropes.
Yeah.
Rope work is
no,
super
I love
fun,
climbing, but... and I really want to ice climb, but I know I'll like it too much, and it's too risky.
It so, is, yeah.
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 It's also kind of hard to fit into the whole student grind as well.
True. You have to drive at least 4 hours. Yeah, no biggie.
Yeah, where's the nearest spot?
Like Marble Canyon.
Yeah, like up in the interior. Okay. At least like a 4 hour drive,
yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That's a little too far.
So speaking of the board, what does the distribution of power look like? Governance structure?
I would say we're fairly well balanced.
Yeah. Democratic?
Yeah. Probably.
I mean, Sonia hasn't done anything quite super evil dictatory.
I've decided I'm going to be, tyranny is the way I'm going to rule the club. I am the last
Starting
president of the VOC and the only president of the VOC for the rest of the time now. Yeah. No, it's like, I'd say it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. If things come down to a vote, it's pretty much unanimous. Yeah. So it usually doesn't come down to a vote.
That's good. Like-minded individuals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have like, what, 18 positions on our exec team, ranging from like president, vice president, membership chair, trips coordinator.
Plus or minus a couple of quartermasters.
Yeah, quartermasters who like manage the gear and then, no kidding, plus or minus. And like, I don't know, social coordinator. We have a legacy coordinator, treasurer, secretary, kind of.
Do you guys have a vice president?
We do. Yeah. And vice president mostly deals with like our idea committee, which is the inclusion, diversity, and equality.
Amazing.
What's the A stand for?
Action.
Oh, yeah, an action. Yeah. Yes. And so, like, that's mostly what they deal with, which is pretty cool that we have that committee. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
It is interesting, though. We've had a surprisingly competitive election this year. For
once.
Yeah. Like, normally, I think, like, our elections have been fairly straightforward. Like, you know, with a lot of clubs here, if you run for a position, you'll probably get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we had, I think, about
five people running for president.
Wow.
And usually it's, like, somebody's voluntold. And if there's a runoff, it's between two people.
Wow.
So, yeah, five people was definitely a record.
Of all time or in recent years?
So that was kind of cool. Just to, like, see how the stoke for the club has grown and, like, see how many... And everybody who ran was super capable, too. So it was cool to, like, see how many people were stoked and interested in that.
Yeah.
And then as well, like... Our quartermaster positions, like people who run gear hours, also always super competitive.
Okay.
Yeah. Most positions, it wasn't like a done deal of who got it, which was interesting. Yeah.
Everyone just wants to like touch that deposit.
Yeah,
money?
I guess so. Yeah.
Maybe they won't bring it back.
Yeah. And then they get to yell at them. Yeah. Who knows?
So speaking of the club growth, what do you guys know much about the history?
Like a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what's so cool about this club is that there's so much history and it's like just waiting to be read about and looked at. We do have like a quote unquote archives, which is in a cabinet in the corner of our club room.
Funny.
Yeah. And then the UBC archives actually does have some of our stuff archived and all that. We also have been putting out like a journal every year for 65 years, which documents trip reports that people have been on in the previous year. We had a centennial book come out in 2017, which is obviously for the centennial of the club. That has a lot of history in it.
Oh, interesting. So
read it.
They must have a date that they decided. Because I was reading up on the VOC wiki, which is like really extensive.
So much information.
It's great. Yeah.
Almost too much information.
There's a lot.
There's so much.
And it seems like the start date is disputed a little bit.
I think they're like
1920s, dating back to the 1920s.
It's 1917, which is apparently what somebody landed upon.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So there's like so much cool history. I mean, people who were in the club in the early days are well-known names around at least like the southwest of BC, or at least like the Pacific Northwest, because they did so much development of outdoor areas here.
Yeah.
Did a lot of first ascents. MEC was actually founded by VOC members.
What?
Yeah. You know, like
some of the
old members are like household names in outdoor communities. So
that's
pretty awesome.
Just on the topic of the MEC thing, one of our members who was like active until very recently was, I think, MEC number 2.
Yeah, he was like, you know, because like it used to be a co-op, so you could like buy in or whatever.
Yeah.
So he was like the second person.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So what kind of membership do you guys attract now? Like, I'm sure there's a wide range because I know non-students can be members as well. Right?
Yeah.
What's the ratio approximately? Do you guys know?
I would say it's mostly like students.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you have this very healthy, like super like rich multi-generational sort of like bed of like past VOCers ranging from like, you know, people who have just graduated and are moving on, but like are still in the area, to like people who are like well into their like 60s, 70s, like 80s as well.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, so we used to be like a lot more grad student based.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think like COVID came along and for whatever reason, we've become a lot more undergraduate focused.
Yeah.
I think like only 3 people on our exec team this coming year are not in their undergrad, which is interesting, I guess, according to some people.
Yeah.
But yeah, so mostly our demographic is like undergrads or grad students. But yeah, like Alan said, we still have people who are very involved in the club as like honorary members.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said earlier, people kind of sell their soul to the club. And I say that with affection
and
peace and love. But it's just such a cool club. And so like when people graduate, they're kind of like sad to just leave it behind. And it feels like such a large part of their life and not just a school club.
Yeah.
So,
well, it seems like a lot more.
Community. You know, like we have, like I mentioned, the 4 huts that we own and maintain. That's pretty unique for a university club, I'd say. And, you know, we have, as I like to put it, we have swing amongst the outdoor community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll recommend people for outdoor awards. We're part of the Federation for Mountain Clubs of BC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the ACC or Alpine Club
of
Canada is super involved with us, or we're involved with them. Yeah, so it's not just like a UBC club, even though we're so grateful that we're allowed to have a club room in the AMS.
Yeah.
A little
so you guys are
disclaimer.
AMS
yeah.
clubs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I think definitely... we have a lot. It's interesting, like I said, like people know the VOC, but not necessarily the AMS. So it's definitely a cool space.
Yeah. And do you guys, would you say that the membership's pretty accessible? Like,
yeah. I guess that's like maybe a loaded question.
Uh-huh.
So for students, it's $45.
Mm-hmm.
And then for non-students, it's $70 because the AMS requires non-member or non-students to pay like 50% more for club fees.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so, I mean, $45 is probably steeper than like, say, I know the German Students Association like charges $2 for a year-long membership.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like that covers insurance because obviously outdoor activities, no matter how safe we instruct or try to keep our trips, like they're dangerous just inherently. So we have insurance covered with that. We also have a gear library that we maintain. Like I said, we've got huts. So like $45 for a year, and like you get free rentals, you get free access to our huts, you get a free journal.
I'd say it's a pretty
not
good
that
deal.
Bad. Yeah. And the problem is like realistically, we do lower fees if like we have that option if people need it.
Right.
But it's tough because $45 might equate to like gas for one trip.
Yep.
So you wonder like how accessible it's really making the club or the outdoors by lowering just the membership fee. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But there's efforts. I mean, the free gear library helps with that as well. So
totally.
Yeah. I think for a lot of the activities we do, like backcountry skiing, like the upfront gear cost is substantial.
Oh,
and
yeah.
like without
so
stuff like rentals, it would be really hard for people to like get into this stuff, like much less give it a try to even see if it's their thing.
Yeah, that's that other facet of accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. Would you guys, I know you guys rent telemark gear. We do. If it comes down to it. That's awesome. But do a lot of people end up like on bigger trips? Do a lot of people end up on Telmark skis?
It's a bit notorious.
That's
like that.
Classic.
Yeah. I definitely say like part of becoming a VOC member is like you're going to learn how to Telmark ski, whether or not it's against your will.
Yeah.
We do have stuff like tele school annually where we teach people how to tele ski.
That's so
it's, like,
awesome.
Part of the history of the club, I guess. You know, because tele skis are pretty vintage.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, realistically, people on bigger trips, we have a lot more tele skis than like alpine touring skis.
Yeah.
So we get people who are like, okay, I guess I'm learning how to tele ski on this trip because unfortunately the AT skis run out pretty quick.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
We are working on it, though.
We are working on it.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it might be a rite of passage.
We're not trying to get rid of them, you know?
Just flesh it out a little bit.
Yeah, try to maybe, like, invert the, or, like, inverse the ratio or whatever it is. Yeah.
Cool. Well, maybe we'll take a little break and play a song.
Sounds good.
Play your song first, Sonia?
Sure. Yeah, a little bit about the song. It's not that deep to be, but
this
summer I had like an internship in Germany, which was super rad. I was working at the university that my mom went to.
Oh, cool.
I was living in the town like I spent a lot of time growing up in.
What town?
Brünn, which is close to Köln or Cologne, which is also the village that my mom grew up in. So that was really cool. And I mean,
back to the roots.
Yeah, and I found out shockingly that there was a climbing area nearby. The area of Germany is not known for climbing. And on the way there, every week in the car, we would listen to a playlist that included this song. So it's just
great.
Good vibes.
Yeah. So this is Photo ID by Remy Wolf with Dominic Fike.
Oh, shit, no. Oh, fuck. Oh, man. Tell the label.
No week, no sleep, no kid. I swim in the street and no, I can't see without you.
So it gets weird when you don't look at it.
Of my friends on my Instagram and photos of my toes on my OnlyFans and visuals in these frames look better than the ones that she posted on Facebook. I'm ready when you wanna point that, shoot that, pop that Polaroid, that screw that, chop that, lean, and shit that only happened in my wildest dreams. The shit we talk about and listen to behind the screens, and I be trying to stream consciousness. Baby, you be trying to stream songs like this. I told you I just want to remember this. I told you I be trying to create memories, but everybody around me wanna check. Only thing that keep me out of that bag full of that white or that bottle full of that red is photos on my desk. Only thing that keep me out of my head when I'm in bed is the photos on the wall back when we had it all. So I be trying to keep track of it, catch it in the vanish like a magic trick, especially when you was on Zans and shit. Truthfully, I don't even understand that shit. Another stanza, my bitch after my homie managing, making sure that they pan us. I'm just a natural when it comes to picking the plans up, and I'm only 25 G's. Tell that bitch to take a picture for the photo ID.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back. This is Outdoor Pursuits on CITR 101.9 FM. We are back chatting to Sonia and Alan from the VOC. Yeah, you guys have a little promo.
Oh, yeah. Here. So in case you've been wondering about the VOC and really wanted to join, but didn't know when was a good time, or was like, it's not September when the memberships are usually bought, so I don't really want to fork out the $45. If you join like on May 1st or like before, I think September 1st, your membership fees or your membership will last until September 2024 as opposed to September 2023.
Right.
So you get an extra 6 months for your, yeah, for your worth cost. Yeah, yeah. So it makes it a little bit more worth it. And yeah, I mean, the great thing about the VOC is that it runs over the summer quite a bit. There's always a lot of trips that keep running over the summer. So if you're in the area over the summer, you'll definitely be able to get involved and go on trips.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Ass.
In fact, I think, honestly, a lot of our beginner-friendly trips happen during the summer because that's when all the snow melts. And
yeah.
You can go on hikes.
It's when really opens up to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can go on hikes. You can learn how to rock climb a little easier.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can do for beginner-friendly skiing. Mm-hmm. We do run a lot of trips, but, yeah, I mean, it's yeah, maybe a little limited compared to, oh, yeah, let's go on this hike. You know, anybody can probably strap on some hiking boots and get up that
it's
mountain.
It's a great way to see BC.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we have, like, the expectation that people carpool and stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like, like you said, it's a great way to see BC. Like, I don't have a car, but people who sign up for my trips have cars. So I get to go to these places that I wouldn't be able to get to otherwise. So, yeah,
fantastic.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, do you guys have, you have an upcoming trip, maybe work trip?
Well, I mean, this summer, as I mentioned, part of the roof of one of our huts sheared off recently. And so this summer we'll definitely be doing a lot of work trips up to that hut and probably do like a 2 week rotating out trip in August just to replace the whole roof structure. So stay tuned for lots of trip postings for that. But then like a
rewarding work.
Yeah. But then a cool upcoming one is called Son of Rock, which is pretty much a small version of Rock Party, which happens in September.
Okay.
And we'll bring people up to Squamish, teach them various levels of rock climbing skills, ranging from total beginner, just tying into a rope for the first time, or like trad multi-pitch skills. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And that's just a cool example of like how the club has accommodates beginners and welcomes any level of skill and everything. So
yeah. So what kind of gear would you guys supply for something like Son of Rock?
We have pretty much like everything that you would need aside for some of like the more specialized trad climbing stuff.
Do you guys
you know
have
we do have trad climbing stuff.
Oh, that's
you just
true.
Have to probably have taken a trad course through the VOC or not through the VOC.
Okay.
Yeah, or just talk with the quartermasters and they'll know,
experience.
Oh, okay, cool, that's what you're going to do. Yeah. What we don't have is like belay devices or anchor building kits. So we have ropes, we have harnesses, helmets, rock climbing shoes, crash pads if you're into bouldering. But yeah, like the belay devices and anchor stuff, it's just we don't, and quick draws, we don't really know what happens to them when you're on trips, obviously.
Yeah.
So it's maybe more of a liability thing to rent out something like a belay device, which on which people's lives hinge. So yeah.
Literally.
I should say though that like the community does tend to find a way to get gear to people even if the club doesn't officially have it on hand.
Yeah.
Like we're pretty good at moving stuff around.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, for real. Like when we went up to Felix a couple weeks ago, like you and I for like Will Unger's memorial trip. I was like, oh, we don't have enough beacons because the club has 40 beacons, but there was a lot out.
Yeah.
But then I somehow brought 4 beacons up to the hut for people who didn't have them because people were just like, oh, yeah, here's my beacon, here's my beacon. And people are pretty generous with just sharing around. Yeah.
That's shows a sign of a strong community, trusting community.
Totally. Yeah. And people are just kind of jazzed to get other people out into the outdoors. And if that means giving up their sleeping mat for the weekend or like their extra one, or being like, oh yeah, you can share my tent to the random person they just met.
Yeah,
it's all good. Yeah,
that's awesome. Do you guys ever have mishaps with gear rentals? How often do they come back damaged, or if they don't come back at
well,
all?
Well, good thing I didn't bring Jacob Aragonis in here because he could go on for hours and hours. I mean, I think The thing with free rentals is that some people might abuse it a little bit because they don't, you know, if it's not your gear, you're not going to treat it as well. Yeah. But I think it's pretty successful considering it's free rentals. So, you know, we do a cash deposit.
Yeah.
And we rarely lose a gear. We rarely have damaged gear come back. I think our biggest struggle is like core shots and skis and like early and late season.
Yeah.
But those are solvable. It's just annoying and yeah. it gives more time or like makes more time for the quartermasters.
So the quartermasters do gear repair?
Yeah, gear maintenance.
Okay.
Yeah. And then like recently we lost one ski from like one of our best sets of AT skis, which is so unfortunate. Maybe we'll find it
that's
at some
hard
point.
To do.
Yeah, well, it was like down a very icy like switchback skin track. So it makes sense. But yeah, it was unfortunate, and like we'll lose like an ice axe every so often. But you know, it's like all things considered, we do hold on to like a good chunk of our gear. Yeah,
That's good.
We do get the occasional like mega gear drama. I remember one particularly memorable trip that actually happened basically a year ago. We were up in the Okanagan, and our cars got broken into.
What?
They're like doing a very long hike. And then they were going to go climb at Skaha or something.
Yep.
So there was a rope and climbing shoes and helmet and stuff in a car.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. All your cars, did you say?
All the ones we left at the trailhead.
Oh my gosh. Multiple cars.
Mm-hmm. So the climbing stuff was gone. but those are like things we don't fault the person who rented the gear out for.
Right.
You know, like if somebody loses something on a trip, it's like, sorry, we're going to have to keep your deposit.
Yeah.
And that's something that's well known in advance.
Within their control as well. Yeah.
But yeah, things like that, it was like, okay, I'm so sorry that happened.
Oh man.
Yeah.
And like, that's why we have things like a rainy day fund in case stuff like this happens or Felix's roof breaks.
Right. Will you guys replace the lost gear pretty quickly?
I would say we do it as fast as the quartermasters of time and Facebook Marketplace can satisfy us.
Yeah.
Because like that lost climbing gear, we have so many climbing shoes of varying goodness and like so many ropes. And, you know, it's like it wasn't the biggest like hit to our gear library or anything. But yeah, we lose a pair of skis. It's kind of like, oh, man, what can we how can we fix the situation?
Yeah. So you said you have a lot of climbing shoes. Do you guys work with, like, the aviary?
To some extent,
We used to more in the past. They actually kind of started out as sort of like a subsidiary of our club. So, like, we used to, like, 10 years ago even have, like, this whole dedicated exec position for the climbing wall. But
no
I think
way.
At some point, like, we did kind of go our own ways. But there
like
is...
Like the skiing board club.
Yes.
I think there might have been less drama in the aviary split.
No lawsuits.
Yeah.
Well, oh, was that over the
redacted
the hat?
Yeah, there was like the Whistler cabin, but that was more the AMS stuff. So we'll
we'll
speak about that in private.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like the aviary still offers a discount to VOC members for like their membership,
cool.
and then and like when we. Or when they got rid of their old rental shoes, they kind of handed their old ones to us, and we were able to salvage the good ones. So yeah, we still have a lot of crossover, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
especially with people. I mean, given the overlap in interests.
Yeah,
and all.
Indeed.
Very unlikely you'll meet somebody in the aviary who's not in the VOC.
And the aviary is fully volunteer run too.
Yes,
I think. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was supposed to become a monitor this semester, and just like the training did not work out. Me and this other girl, we just had opposite schedules. And now I'm like, there's no friggin' way that I'm being a monitor next year. Like I think presidency's gonna take a lot of time. So
what kind of, if you were to break it down to a weekly time dedication, what would you?
I don't know yet. That's the problem. So we had like an exec handover potluck last week, and where we, you know, explained our positions to the incoming people, and like I explained so many more details and concrete methods about membership chair to the incoming membership chairs, like just so many concrete things, and like had a trip or, like an exec report for them to read and stuff. And I looked at Jacob Grossbard, the outgoing president, and I was like, "Hey, what do I do?" He's like, I don't know, respond to emails. And I was like, okay, so people are telling me that this is a very stressful and time-intense position. but you don't know what
trial
I need to do.
Trial by fire.
Yeah, so it's basically, I mean, that's exactly it. Yeah. Presidency is just putting out fires. Like, yeah. Realistically, you yourself are not going to get tons and tons of, like, concrete action mm-hmm. items done, but you'll learn how to delegate it, and you'll learn how to respond to everything that comes up with empathy and,
yeah.
Like I said, put out the fires. So, yeah, so it'll probably just be a lot of, like, silly things yeah. behind the scenes. But I'm excited about it. It should
That's
be
great.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah, I mean, Alan has, like, a more concrete form of action, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I run trips.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you, like, are supposed to come up with, like, somewhat interesting or unique trips as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here, we'll get right into that after this little ad break.
Nice.
I have a new jingle here, too, from my friend's band,
nice.
Frank Mona, who's going to be... that's my addition.
That's
amazing.
We'll play it again. We'll get the whole thing in there.
Percent volunteer and student-run organization at UBC. Through the many initiatives, Sprouts aims to make healthy, affordable, and sustainably produced food accessible to everyone on campus. Sprouts is based out of Sprouts Cafe in the basement of the Life Building. With rising food insecurity on campus, they've dedicated practices to making high-quality food and produce available to all through the cafe, community fridge, produce market, and free meal distribution. Learn more about these many initiatives and volunteer opportunities on Instagram at UBCSprouts.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or Grocery Checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek coffee today. You know what I could go for right now? Authentic flour tortillas pan-fried until golden brown.
Yum!
Or vegan taco kits filled with traditional Mexican chilies and spices.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or how about vegan potato and chorizo taquitos?
How can I get these foods immediately?
Buy Lita's Mexican Foods.
Sounds delicious. Tell me more.
Lita's Mexican Foods is a female-managed, plant-based Mexican food innovator in BC. Their products come prepackaged and frozen at tons of local grocery stores around Metro Vancouver. Not to mention they can be cooked in under 10 minutes.
Wow, that sounds perfect for me. I've been so busy lately and dinner takes so long to make. Where can I get my hands on some Lita's Mexican Foods?
Lots of places. Whole Foods, Choices, Stong's, Vegan Supply, Donald's, and even UBC Bookstore. Hey, where are you going?
To buy some Lita's Mexican Foods. See you later.
See ya.
Are you looking for ways to be a part of the community through low-stakes opportunities like volunteering? What about making friends that are really cool or have some common interests? Well, I'm here to tell you that at CITR, you can come volunteer at Volunteer Wednesdays, happening every other Wednesday from 12 to 3 with a really fun activity each time, like making signs or button making. Not only is it a great break from outside stress, but a great opportunity to be a part of the community. For more information, you can visit CITR's Instagram page at CITR and Discorder.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Outdoor Pursuits with Jade, me, and Sonia, and Alan from the VOC. Yeah, so Alan, we left off chatting about your position as trip coordinator.
Mm.
Yeah. You guys have obviously run trips this year. Are you getting any ideas for what you want to do next year? Or you kind of wanted to start with the blank slate?
Oh, yeah. So I mentioned this earlier, but we have this trip called Glacier School where a bunch of people go up into the mountains and learn mountaineering things, how to travel on a glacier, use an ice axe.
Yeah.
And I happen to have like taken that course last September, and it's pretty much set my mind on fire.
Fantastic.
Those skills open up like a huge window of opportunities.
Yeah.
But the only issue is that Glacier School happens in September. Mm. And glacier season also tends to end in September.
Oh.
So
glacier stuff happens in the summer?
Yes.
Oh. At least like not skiing over glaciers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
gotcha.
Like you can always do like mountaineering
glacier
objectives
and
stuff.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. This is making sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
The
yeah.
issue is that like, you know, come September up in like the Pacific Northwest, like stuff starts coming down hard in terms of like snow, and like eventually everything just gets completely socked in and you no longer have glacier, you just have bunch of snow, which isn't super great for mountaineering.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Okay, I see. So is it like kind of mixed? You'll have like rock?
Yeah, ideally.
Glacier.
So one of the main things with mountaineering is that you want to have incredibly stable snowpack for avalanche reasons.
Yeah.
And this is not something that you can really get when you have like 20, 60 centimeters of fresh pow coming down in a weekend. So what happens is like for a lot of stuff, if you're not like super crazy, you wait until the spring for like when the sun starts hitting all these glaciers and the snow starts melting and getting more slushy.
Right.
And because it gets more slushy, it also gets more consolidated and like it can freeze into this really nice kind of like ice pack, which is what you want when you're climbing steep stuff.
Right.
And yeah, it's the complete opposite of what you usually get in September. And what usually happens is, you know, 50 people, they do this really awesome trip, learn all these super cool skills, and then they're just kind of left to hang until, like, basically end of the school year.
I'll just wait in July. July's coming.
Yeah. So soon.
Yeah. And, yeah, I feel like, I don't know, the VOC has always kind of given this mountaineering vibe to me, but, like, we don't actually run that many mountaineering trips.
Right.
And that's something I'd really like to work on this summer, is, like, just trying to get people out there and, like, doing more of these, like, snow-related things in a time when you really wouldn't expect there to still be snow-related things to do. Climb some pretty awesome peaks.
Yeah.
So who instructs?
Anyone. Anyone with the skills and, like, the willingness.
Yeah, so come August, I'm going to be, emailing, like, hundreds of people on the old VOC email chains and, like, whoever comes up and has, you know, done a bit of experience.
I guess you won't really know who's gonna bite.
Not yet. Yeah. Well, you might have some idea. Yeah. We do have a very extensive lurker community, as we call it. So, like, you know, I can, like, name off the top of my head people who will definitely be like, oh, yeah, I can help out with Glacier School or Rock Party or...
Cool.
Yeah, or skiing instructional trips. Yeah, it's kind of cool because, like, Glacier School is one of our annual trips that is organized by the VOC.
Yeah.
Also, Rock Party, like I mentioned, also organized by the VOC. Yeah. We have, like, a bunch of trips that are, like, annual. They're very much a tradition in the club, and they're organized by the club. And, like, you know, Alan here has to come up with unique ideas or, like, run a couple of those annual trips as part of his position. But then, like, anybody can run a trip, which is pretty epic. Like, you don't have to be on exec.
You post it on the message board.
Yeah,
right?
Like the trip agenda.
The process, right?
Yeah, and so, like, anybody, any member can post a trip, even if they don't feel like they have the skills to teach somebody something. They can just have the idea and, like, mobilize people to go to that area and get a co-leader or something like that.
What's amazing is that, like, people are always willing to help, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's honestly, like, an amazingly supportive club community in that way. And, like, you know, I've had these ideas before of, like, trips I wanted to do, but, like, might not necessarily have had, like, the skills to completely direct on my own. And, like, someone has always, like, reached out and helped me with it.
Wow. That's that bodes well for your upcoming challenges.
For sure.
Yeah, I have a very good safety net.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
And you're also, so Alan also has a co-trips
coordinator.
Yeah, one of two. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is kind of nice, maybe.
Yeah.
Do you know your co-coordinator well?
Yeah, we've done a lot of trips together.
Okay.
My partner is Zachary Wirth, and Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense to have two trips coordinators for a club that's getting, you know, to this level.
Huge. Yeah, and we have like 1,300 members at the moment.
Wow.
So, like, trip demand always outweighs supply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, having two people coming up with ideas or, like, being able to, like, tag team, like, bigger trips or whatever is probably a really good move, honestly.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. This year we've had, like, more gigantic 50-person trips than ever, and like, while they are cool, like, it is sometimes nice to kind of like cut things down a little bit and like try to get people, like, less people into more trips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like have, you know, if it's an instructional trip, like,
yeah,
like a better instructor to participant ratio sort of thing. Yeah like, I led a beginner ski trip this past semester, 40 people, two instructors.
Wow.
And so, like, a lot of people on the trip knew what they were doing, or like, knew a lot about skiing. It was just their first time in the backcountry. Mm-hmm. Like, Alan was on this trip. Mm-hmm. He was very much helping.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, you know, 40 people who had never been on skis before or anything. But it was still like, you know, if people had questions, they had to track me or Eric Daigle down, and or like somebody else who knew what they were doing, like Alan. So, you know, people might have benefited more from a smaller trip. But in my opinion, it was like, but we got 40 people up, which is pretty dope.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, speaking of large trips.
Oh, yeah.
You guys just ran.
Yeah, the last.
Will Ungar Memorial.
So, for anybody listening, we lost Will Ungar this past year in September in a rock climbing accident. He was, like, the best person in the VOC, kind of, like, embodied the what everybody in the VOC should strive to be. He's just super welcoming and encouraging. And so that's been like a huge loss. He was our huts coordinator this past year, or was supposed to be this huts coordinator for this past year. And we were able to run a memorial trip for him a couple weeks ago up to Felix Hut, which is the one where the roof came off of. We brought like 40 people up, I think, like VOC members, non-VOC members alike. And it was so dope. Like,
it felt like a unique trip.
It was unique for sure. Like, I didn't feel self-conscious around anybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody was like so loving and supporting. And it was like very cool to see so many different groups of people that Will loved and who loved Will. And it was cool to like see so many parts of his personality represented by different people there. So, you know, in that sense, like, those huge trips, super dope, and like definitely like an experience that is unmatched. And it was like very special for us to be able to all come together and like remember Will.
It was quite beautiful.
We're trying to make that an annual trip.
That's great.
That'll be really nice. And like, I think the fact that like we brought along like non-VOC members as well, it just was like, it made it that much more special.
It was interesting to see kind of more experienced skiers take on leadership roles.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like Aldo and the Isaacs.
Yeah,
and
that was crazy.
Jacob. No, not Jacob, Lucas.
Yeah,
we had some people get lost on the way up. And people just mobilized instantly to go find them.
Yeah.
And, like, we had some just cracked skiers along. Yeah. So they just zipped down a very icy skin track, found them quick.
Very quickly. Yeah.
So, shout out to them. It was really awesome. So that was awesome experience. I'm going to stop saying the word awesome. But, like, that was a nice big trip. And then, like, our most famous trip that we run annually is called Rock Party.
Mm-hmm.
It's in September. We bring 300 people up to Squamish and teach them the same, like, you know, total beginner to, like, trad multi-pitch skills.
Yeah.
And we rent out, like, or, like, book out the entire Momcom River campground, which is pretty epic. You know, we have, like, a DJ and a party tent and, I mean, hypothetically. and, you know, it's just a super cool community and a lot of people's initiation into the VOC.
Nice.
And it's pretty chaotic, but super dope for sure. And then, you know, you have that versus the trip where you go on with, like, four people. That's also organized through the club or through a member, and that's equally as cool. So,
that's fantastic. Yeah. I was thinking about, this might be a little PSA for myself.
Go for it.
Trying to organize some whitewater kayaking.
Oh,
like, introductory.
Do it.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
do
stuff
whitewater?
Like that. I would like to.
Yeah.
There's definitely people in the club who are like teaching themselves by throwing themselves down rivers. It's just like good for them, I guess. But there's interest in that.
I know people who run River Culture Kayaking. That's a little outfitter out from Squamish. And
is everything, the lights turned off?
Oh, yeah. I think that's...
It's all good. All right, cool. Sorry.
No, the tech is still not my friend.
Yeah. Looks like it's going good. Yeah.
Chuck. Chuck. Oh, yeah. We're good. Okay. Yeah, so Russell, he's from Squamish, and he does river culture kayaking introductory kind of sessions. So I'm going to try to run, hopefully somewhat subsidized, or not subsidized, discounted.
Yeah.
I think the larger the group we get, the more benefits and discounts we'll have.
Totally, yeah. Yeah. People would be into that.
Yeah,
for sure.
they supply gear too.
Oh, nice.
Which is sweet because yeah. I've sussed out the situation with the VOC, yeah. And there are some.
There's two kayaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're fine, but there's two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've reached out to the Vancouver Whitewater Club too, and we were talking about maybe getting a pool session, which
oh,
is where
nice.
You bring
That's
the
awesome.
Kayaks into the pool and you learn to roll and just general paddle orientation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sweet. No, people would be super into that. And like,
UBC pool wasn't super into it.
That's true. Like, well, yeah.
I'm going to keep trying.
Yeah, I mean, like, people are always like, or not always, but, you know, there's definitely some lamentation about the fact that we don't have much in the
yeah,
way of like,
I
water
mean,
sports. I wish we did.
BC's great.
Yeah.
Great, great for whitewater.
Yeah, I feel yeah. like it's just like we need like one or two trips, mm-hmm. like yours yeah. sort of thing, and then it'll get the ball rolling. People
yeah.
will be like, oh, yeah, this is something that we can do with this club.
Yeah.
It's just...
It is it's a pain
yeah.
to get out there sometimes because it's just like the gear and you need cars.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Just shuttling and it yeah. But I think it would be great to just give people a taste.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So watch for that, probably September.
Nice.
Is when I'm gonna try
okay.
to
I'll look forward to
that.
It. Yeah.
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 That's like
yeah,
I'll
get in touch with you, Alan.
Yeah. As a trips coordinator, I yeah. encourage you to run this trip.
Yeah, another one of Alan's duties is to encourage people to run trips.
Nice.
So,
yeah. There's definitely like a ton of interest in this stuff right now though.
Yeah.
Like I've been hearing about people practicing like how to flip themselves
yeah,
like
yeah,
nonstop
yeah.
in the club room these days. And yeah, we have
yeah,
I think
percolating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More than enough. Pickup trucks in the club too.
That's true.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or willpower. I mean, I know people who brought a kayak on the ferry.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like the people who did the swim hacking trip.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That was so cool.
Yeah.
I also don't know about whitewater, but we do have a foldable kayak which you can put on.
Oh
your back.
Yeah, the ROU or yeah.
Dude, try it on whitewater. Why
yeah.
not?
I took the canoe out earlier
yeah?
this year. Yeah. I paddled from Spanish Banks to downtown, like to
oh,
English.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, PSA, we have a canoe.
There's a canoe. It's not just for display.
No, it does hang in our club room. It looks like a decoration, but it does get taken out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised that more people weren't surprised that
yeah.
we were dragging a canoe through the nest.
I feel like people have gotten so used to, like, the totally absurd things that people
happening.
Carry through.
Oh,
like, I've
yeah.
walked through the nest with three pairs of skis and, like, five pairs of ski poles before.
And people
and, like,
just, like, don't even
either
bat
they look
night.
And, like, yeah. they're like, hey, sure. Or
yeah,
people
okay.
are like, oh, VOC. Because,
yeah.
like, eventually if you work in the corner of the club room a lot, you'll probably recognize the
yeah.
wild gear that comes in and out
totally.
Of that room.
Maybe people but. Just go to watch.
Yeah, it's a spectacle.
I'm just eating lunch.
Yeah, it's a canoe hanging from the ceiling, sure. Yeah.
Well, Alan, we got time to play your song here. Do you have any words to say? I love Rainbow Kitten Surprise. Yeah.
That's
I almost
great
submitted
to hear.
A song for that one too. So.
Nothing quite as deep as
that's
Sonia's.
Not
but
really.
Yeah, I got recommended RKS
mm-hmm.
from one of my friends
mm-hmm.
earlier this year and I've been kind of getting into them.
Yeah. So great.
Yeah,
they're they formed in Boone. California. I think it's four members.
Mm.
Yeah.
Apparently they're coming in September. Vancouver.
Oh,
yeah,
I had tickets for Rainbow Kitten Surprise and they canceled the show.
COVID,
it was
in
really
general.
Sad. I think it wasn't because of COVID at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Lack of, I don't know. I don't want to think about it. Anyway, here, this is All Is Well That Ends Well off their 2015 album titled Archaeus. Bold.
Thank you. The colder the night, the warmer your hands hold. Held in your arms, the hole in my head grows. Hold.
Welcome back to Outdoor Pursuits on CITR 101.9 FM. We are chatting with Sonia and Alan about the VOC. So I'm just looking at my notes here. We covered a lot of what I wanted to talk about, but maybe do you guys have any funny anecdotes for any on any trips that have happened over the past, I guess, 2 years? Have you guys been members?
Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any memorable that comes ones? To mind quickly, or do you have anything that's coming to mind?
Not quite. A couple of atrocious.
Yeah,
trips
I mean,
picking my way through.
Anything that pricked the ear.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's some trips that I should not talk about on the radio, and also I take way too much time telling the stories. So if you have questions about an incident with some psychedelic substances up at a hut that somebody ingested without telling us and that was not in our group, let me know. Happy to fill you in on that story.
Yeah, find them in the club room.
Yeah, for real, I spent all my time in there. Otherwise, I'm thinking, I went to Smith Rock in Oregon to go climbing over this past reading break. And Joel Bangs, exchange student from Sweden, I think, it was so funny. So his car group, they decided, okay, we're going to leave Vancouver at 3 a.m. so we can maximize our climbing time.
Maximize, getting to the hut at 3 a.m.
Exactly, like, yeah, it can't relate. Yeah, but it was, weekend. Yeah, it was so funny, because there was like a bad bit of weather coming in, so they wanted all the time. It was kind of a long drive. But then Joel was kind of in the group chat saying, man, can we stop in Bend, which is like an extra 45 minutes out of the way. Mm-hmm. There's a split board there. I really want to buy it. Yeah. I need to buy it. It's such a good deal. Please. I'll love you forever sort of thing. Had never met his driver, had never met his car group. Like, you know, nobody really knew him. Yeah. So everybody's like, okay. But so they went to Bend, which was kind of hilarious. Like I said, because they were trying to maximize their client time. And then like went out of their way to go pick up the split board in the middle of a desert, might add, for the sole purpose of him going skiing or snowboarding the next week. So funny. And so, like, that was funny. Obviously, they maximized their climbing time. But then my favorite part was that Joel was, like, he didn't have any sort of camping dishes or anything. Yeah. So he then ate his meals off of his split board. You know, he was carrying it around camp.
Funny.
He was at the campfire. It was his table and his plate.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so, like, we have these things called Goon Awards that we, like, can award at the end of the year to pretty much anyone, and we have to supply them with, like, a funny, like, joke object that will help get them out of similar embarrassing situations in the future. So I awarded him a bowl for that incident. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we've got some quirky characters, definitely.
That's great. Do you guys have any, like, funny, any traditions that we could end off on? We have,
I would say, burns and turns.
Burns
is the tradition.
Turns.
Yeah.
What's that?
So back in, I think, 2014, 2015, there's this guy, Neil McKenzie. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite get to know him personally, but he, from what I heard, was pretty aggressively Scottish.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And
super involved with the VOC. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
To say the very least.
Yeah.
Him and Steph and Elena were out on a mountain and passed away that year.
Right.
And yeah, Steph and Neil were like super integral to the club, like just like did so much for the club, super involved. Like I said, everybody knew them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Burns and Turns kind of turned into like a memorial trip for Neil in particular, but obviously also Steph.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, go ahead and tell more about the trip.
Yeah, so Burns and Turns. The turns here being backcountry skiing at Felix Hut.
Mm-hmm.
And Burns being not your quads burning as you ski down from Cabin Hill,
mm-hmm.
but actually Robert Burns, a rather famous Scottish poet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's... And then do you guys read?
Yes.
Poetry?
So the big thing about Burns and Turns is that it's about poetry and mm-hmm. skiing.
Yeah.
And that poetry culminates in the form of an ode to the lassies and laddies, typically. Though we do kind of get a bit flexible with that.
Yeah.
We've had odes to haggis, odes to, like, many different things.
Nice.
Yeah, they'll make haggis. People wear kilts. They'll do a dance. You got to go for
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys so, so much for coming.
Yeah,
it has been an absolute pleasure. And, yeah, go say hi to them in the club room.
Yeah, we're
after
we'll
May
friendly.
1st.
Yeah.
You can get your membership. Thanks for listening. This has been Outdoor Pursuits. Okay.